the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, you will hear a report about the discovery of an ancient runestone. Dan Novak tells us where 2022 ranked in terms of hottest years on record. Brian Lynn presents this week's science report. We close with the next part of our U.S. history series. But first, researchers in Norway say they have found what they believe is the world's oldest runestone, a stone with ancient writing on it. Runes are the characters in several Germanic alphabets. These characters were used in Northern Europe from ancient times until the change to the Latin alphabet. The exact origin of runic writing is unclear. The Norwegian researchers say the writing on the runestone could be up to 2,000 years old. The runestone is square and flat. The runes carved into it may represent the earliest example of recorded words in Scandinavia, the Museum of Cultural History in Oslo said. It said it was among the oldest runic inscriptions ever found, and the oldest datable runestone in the world. Kristel Zilmer is a professor at the University of Oslo, of which the museum is part. Zilmer told the Associated Press, "This find will give us a lot of knowledge about the use of runes in the early Iron Age. This may be one of the first attempts to use runes in Norway and Scandinavia on stone." Runes have been found on stones and on home goods. Older runes have been found on other objects also, but not on stone. The oldest known runic writing is on a hair tool made from bone. It was found in Denmark. Zilmer said that the ancient writer might have used a knife or needle to make the runes. The runestone was discovered in the fall of 2021 during a dig in Tyrifjord, west of Oslo. The area is known for several major archaeological finds. Zilmer explained that the find was announced late because researchers needed time to study and date the runestone. Measuring 31 centimeters by 32 centimeters, the stone has several kinds of writings. Not all of them make sense. 8 runes on the front of the stone read Idibirug, which could be the name of an individual or family. Zilmer called the discovery the most sensational thing that I, as an academic, have had. Sensational means causing great excitement. There is still a lot of research to be done on the rock, named Svingrud Stone, after where it was found. Without doubt, we will obtain valuable knowledge about the early history of runic writing, Zilmer added.
Government science groups say that 2022 did not quite set a record for heat, but it was in the top 5 or 6 warmest years on record. The exact placement depends on who was doing the measuring. The U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, measured 2022's worldwide average temperature as 14.76 degrees Celsius, That ranks as the sixth hottest year on record. Four other scientific agencies or science groups around the world put the year as either fifth or sixth hottest. NOAA and NASA records go back to 1880. Bill Nelson is the NASA administrator. He said the worldwide temperature is alarming. What we're seeing is our warming climate. It's warning all of us. Extreme weather patterns threaten our well-being across this planet. Berkeley Earth is a nonprofit group of independent scientists. It said 2022 was the fifth warmest year on record around the world. It noted that for 28 countries, it was the hottest year on record. Since 2015, each year has been more than 1 degree Celsius warmer than pre-industrial times, NOAA and NASA said. Last year was 1.1 degrees Celsius warmer than the middle of the 19th century, NASA said. The possibility of Earth warming beyond the 1.5 degrees Celsius limit that world leaders set in 2015 is increasing with every year, said the World Meteorological Organization. Russ Vose from NOAA said there is a 50% chance of hitting 1.5 degrees Celsius temporarily in the 2020s. La Niña, a natural process that changes weather worldwide, is in its third straight year. It is an event that reduces temperatures around the world. Gavin Schmidt is director of the NASA Goddard Institute of Space Studies. Schmidt found that last year La Niña cooled the overall temperature by about 0.06 degrees Celsius, and that last year was the hottest La Niña year on record. Kathy Dello is the North Carolina state climatologist. She said that historically, La Niña would reduce worldwide temperatures. Now, heat-trapping gases are keeping the temperature cranked up and handing us another top 10 warmest year on record. La Niña is likely weakening, but there is a possible El Niño on the way, which warms overall temperatures. Schmidt said this year will likely be warmer than 2022. And next year, he said, an El Niño would suggest that 2024 would be the record warmest year by quite a large amount. Scientists say about 90% of the heat trapped by greenhouse gases goes into the upper 2,000 meters of the ocean. Data released Wednesday show that 2022 was another record year for ocean heat. I'm Dan Novak.
Scientists increasingly are aiming to move animals threatened by rising temperatures to new areas where they never lived before in an effort to save them. One example is a project in Hawaii that moved or relocated a seabird species from one island to another about 800 kilometers away. Traditionally, scientists have considered the idea of species relocations risky. This is because it can cause problems for existing native animals. But some scientists now believe such relocations are necessary to save threatened species. Moves have already been considered for several species, including birds, lizards, butterflies, and even plants. The relocation in Hawaii involved the Tristram's storm petrel, a seabird that is native to low-lying islands in Hawaii and Japan. The project moved about 40 young birds from Hawaii's Tern Island to Oahu, one of the state's biggest islands. The Tristram's storm petrel is considered at risk of disappearing completely. Tern Island is currently just 1.8 meters above sea level. Scientists fear the island may disappear completely if the sea level there continues to rise. Tern Island is washing away, said biologist Eric Vanderwerf of the nonprofit group Pacific Rim Conservation. Climate change is causing a greater need for this, for taking a species outside its known historical range. Scientists hope the relocated animals can someday be returned to their native environments if conditions change. A proposal by the administration of U.S. President Joe Biden would change the U.S. Endangered Species Act. The law aims to protect rare animals and plants. The change would make it easier to move some of the most threatened species to places where they have not been known to exist before. As a reaction to that proposal, state wildlife officials and scientists have suggested moving populations of some species. These include the key deer of southern Florida and the Karner blue butterfly from the Midwest and Northeast. In addition, officials are suggesting moving desert flowering plants in Nevada and California and the St. Croix ground lizard in the Virgin Islands. Republican lawmakers in western states, including Montana, New Mexico, and Arizona, are against the proposal. They say moving species to new places could create environmental problems and result in an invasive species. Federal officials are expected to finalize the proposal in June. Jason McLaughlin is a biologist at the University of Notre Dame in the state of Indiana. He told the Associated Press he thinks the government proposal demonstrates an important change in the way we think of species protection and conservation. McLaughlin said the issue goes beyond endangered species. He thinks it also raises questions about what should be considered native now that changing temperatures are pushing some species to seek out higher areas or move toward the planet's north or south. He said comparable temperature changes in the past happened over thousands of years, but the current one is taking place over a shorter period, and this has harmed ecosystems. Eventually, we're going to have to start thinking about it in ways that will make people uncomfortable, McLaughlin said. To say this species is okay and this species is not okay, that's asking a lot of human beings. Pacific Rim Conservation's Vanderwerf told the AP that to save storm petrels, scientists need to act before populations have crashed. In 30 years, these birds will certainly be rare if we don't do something about it, he said. James Watson is a scientist at the University of Queensland in Australia. He said, many, many species must be moved or they could go out of existence. Watson added that increasing wildfires have forced some relocations of animals. This kind of intensive management is necessary for us to have a reasonable shot at holding some species, said Don Lyons with the National Audubon Society's Seabird Institute. I'm Brian Lynn.
Now, Brian Lynn joins me to talk a little more about this week's science report. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Sure, Ashley. Thanks for having me.
This week, we heard about how scientists are now moving some animals to new areas to prevent them from going extinct. There were some words in your report that might be new to English learners. What is one of the words you think would be useful to discuss?
So one word that appears in the story is invasive, an adjective. It is one I've used in past stories related to certain environmental subjects. The basic meaning of the word is to describe when something begins moving into all parts of an area and begins to take over. Something invasive is very difficult to stop once it begins spreading, and it is often used to describe plants or diseases that enter new areas.
And the word is related to the term invade, correct?
Yes, so invasive is a related form of invade, and when you think about it, it really makes sense because invade is often used in military terms to describe an aggressive move by one country to take over another. This, of course, is very similar to how a plant or disease can invade a new area, and even a plant or animal can invade a certain area.
Okay, and what would be some other uses of invasive?
Well, for example, it is used in the medical field to describe cutting into or putting something into the human body. A medical operation that requires a surgeon to cut into the body is called invasive. And it can also be used to describe disease that is invading the human body. For example, cancer cells found to be spreading could also be called invasive.
Thanks for those explanations, Brian, and thanks for coming back on the show.
You're welcome, Ashley. Thank you.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. In March of 1868, Congress tried to remove President Andrew Johnson from office. But the Senate failed in the effort by one vote. Andrew Johnson was a Democrat. Congress was controlled by radical members of the Republican Party. Most of the charges at Johnson's trial were based on his dismissal of the Secretary of War. A new law said the president could not remove a cabinet officer without Senate approval. Johnson said the law was unconstitutional. The trial was an important turning point in the making of the nation. Removal from office would have established the idea that the president could serve only with the approval of Congress. The president would have become, in effect, a prime minister, requiring the support of Congress to remain in office. Andrew Johnson's victory kept alive the idea of an independent presidency. Although Congress failed to remove him, the vote did not end a conflict with the White House over the future of the South. But it did have an effect on efforts to rebuild the South following the war. Radical Republicans wanted to punish the South for starting the war. They also wanted to be sure new governments in the southern states would support the Republican Party. Doug Johnson and Frank Oliver tell about the Reconstruction of the South.
One way radical Republicans gained support was by helping give blacks the right to vote. They knew former slaves would vote for the party which had freed them. Another way Republicans kept control in the South was by preventing whites from voting there. They passed a law saying no Southerner could vote if he had taken part in the rebellion against the Union. This prevented the majority of Southern whites from voting for Democrats and against Republicans.
Congress also made strong rules about what Southern states had to do to re-enter the Union. It said each of the states needed a new constitution that protected the voting rights of all black men. And it said each Southern state must approve an amendment to the United States Constitution that gave citizenship to blacks. The radicals did not rest with changes in the law. They also sent their supporters south to organize blacks for the Republican Party. Many Southern whites hated these men from the North. They had a special name for them, carpetbaggers. The name arose because many of the Northerners who went south arrived with all their possessions in a carpet handbag. Southerners also had a name for their own people who cooperated with the carpetbaggers. They called them scalawags. Neither name was friendly.
Southern whites had a reason to be bitter. They had lost the Civil War. Now much of their power was gone, and they were suffering. But there was another side to the story as well. Southern whites had held black people in slavery for many years. Now the former slaves were getting to enjoy a small taste of freedom. Also, the South had started the Civil War, which had caused so much death and destruction. It was not surprising that the North showed little sympathy when the fighting stopped and the South lay in ruins. Southern states organized conventions to form new governments. Soon, all but three Southern states had new legislatures. Not surprisingly, radical Republicans held firm control in every one of the new governments. Many of the new governors and state officials were carpetbaggers from outside the state. Others were Southern scalawags.
Many of these new state officials were dishonest. They began using their power to become rich. In South Carolina, for example, the new governor was a former army officer from the state of Ohio. He gave government jobs to many dishonest men, including some who were wanted for crimes in other states. The same situation existed in other state governments in the South. In Louisiana, for example, the governor was a carpetbagger from the state of Illinois. He left office after 4 years with $1 million. His official pay during that time was only $32,000.
The South was not the only place where public officials were dishonest. The period after the Civil War in the United States was marked by several famous incidents involving violations of the public trust. Some of these incidents took place in the North, even in the White House. They were among the worst examples of dishonesty and poor government ever to take place in American history. It also is important to note that not everyone in the South was dishonest. The new state governments did many good things. They built roads and bridges, schools and hospitals. They improved transportation and education. They loaned money to companies to build railroads. Most important, they helped give hope to former slaves. These people were struggling to create a new life in the land of their former owners.
So the record of Reconstruction in the South was mixed. Many Southerners believe, even today, that Reconstruction was a bitter time of defeat. But others now say this period after the Civil War was a necessary step in creating a different kind of South from the one which had existed before. Historians do agree that Reconstruction changed the United States in several important ways. One of the most important changes was in the Constitution. Congress passed 3 historic amendments to the Constitution during this period.
The first was the 13th Amendment. It ended slavery in the United States. The next was the 14th Amendment. It said, all persons born or naturalized in the United States were citizens of the United States and of the state in which they lived. It said no state could limit the rights of these citizens. Finally, there was the 15th Amendment. It said, a citizen of the United States could not be prevented from voting because of his color. The 13th Amendment freed all Negro slaves. The 14th and 15th Amendments were supposed to protect their rights. These laws alone, however, did not succeed in doing this. It would take another century until Martin Luther King and other civil rights leaders to make these rights a reality. Yet the passage of these 3 amendments to the Constitution was still a historic step in making blacks full and equal citizens.
These same laws and other actions of the radical Republicans changed the South in other less desirable ways. They helped cause angry whites to form the Ku Klux Klan and other groups that terrorized blacks for years to come. The laws also increased bitterness between the North and South that lasted many years. Reconstruction changed the economy of the South, too. White landowners broke up their big farms into smaller pieces of land. They rented these to black farmers. With the land came seed, tools, and enough supplies for a year. In exchange for this, the owner would get a large share of the crop raised by the tenant farmer. This system, called sharecropping, spread through the South. It lasted for almost 100 years. Sharecropping made it possible for blacks to work the land for themselves for the first time in their lives. But it also made it difficult for them to earn enough money to improve their condition. As a result, the majority of Southern blacks remained in poverty. The system helped cause the South to be the poorest part of the United States for many years.
The Reconstruction period changed the face of the South and the United States. The events of Reconstruction also were central to one of the nation's most interesting presidential elections.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.